views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Everyone to our Wednesday night show here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, coming to you live on Black Talk Radio Network, where you can always go and donate to Black Talk Radio Network, donate to the Black Talk Media Project, and you can also purchase your t-shirt. Well, I think you'll receive your t-shirt if you donate a minimum of $25. And you need to donate. We need to support each other. Support our brother Scotty Reed. What's up, Scotty? How you doing? Hope all is well up there in North Kakalaki.
I'm doing as well as can be expected. And I hope you and Featherlight are experiencing a pleasant evening.
Oh. Yes, we are. Let me tell you, it cooled off here in Houston. This was like the second, like, cool day, because it was really cold, like, about a week ago. It dropped down to, like, 44, and that's darn near freezing here in Houston. I think today it was, like, 50-something, and it was darn near freezing. I had on my cowgirl boots and a jacket, so, I mean, that's, like, freezing for Houston. I was like, oh, my God, it's cold. Thank goodness. Ugh. I welcome a little cold weather, because it's always so hot here in Houston. Yes. Hot in so many ways. I love Houston. I put on for my city. I love Houston. But I'm moving down to the island in 8 days. I am counting it down. We're taking our show to the island. To the island, man. We'll be on island time, man. Come on, man. Come on. I don't know how to speak island, but anyway, so we're moving to the island. We're taking mind, body, and spirit to the island. We're going to have the mind, yes, body, and spirit island style. Island, yes, style mind.
Yes. Yes, mind. Come join us.
Yes. Chess. Come join us on the island. Chess. So maybe if it's not too windy, one day we can have a show out on the beach. I don't know. I doubt it. But anyway, we'll do something out there. We will have quite a bit going on out there. We'll be filming our millennial TV show, Hey Now, out there on the beach. So we'll be getting it going. So stay tuned. And I am glad. Oh, welcome in, Featherlight. Let me say namaste to you.
Namaste.
Ask me how I'm breathing.
Oh, how are y'all? Très bien, merci à vous. Practicing my French.
Okay. Well, comme si, comme ça. I can get a little Francais in too. Comme si, comme ça. Shoot, parlez-vous français, god dog it.
Parlez-vous français.
I can say a little bit of everything and a little bit of something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Give us some hasa.
Oh, yeah, da bakadar.
All right
now. I have a little something to work with. Chaz, and so welcome in everyone that is tuning in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Tonight we will speak about speaking your truth. Speaking your truth, emotional care. Speaking your truth, baby. Emotional terrors and spiritual vibrations. Actually, we'll be talking about signs that you're experiencing a spiritual vibration. So, if you're not speaking your truth, we're going to help you speak your truth. And we're going to talk about who are the real catalysts. As much as I love Mother Dunning, I remember when Mother Dunning would come on with us. Mother Dunning is taking care of herself and her family right now, so she is not on air with us now, but she may join us at some point in the future. But Mother Dunning has to take care of her family. But I remember when Mother Dunning used to say that the terrorist this and the terrorist that, and I was like, what in the heck are you talking about as a terrorist? I mean, you know, we have some real domestic terrorism going on here, right here, every day on the streets,
right,
and
here,
the courts.
Yeah.
I'm talking about some people coming from somewhere else. You don't have to worry about them too much. We need to worry about these people that don't want to give people free health care. And you know what? You know what? Speaking of health care, we said that we were going to mention this last week, and we didn't get to it. But if you could just talk about how, as a person that's receiving your Social Security and still being taxed on that feather light.
Okay, so I was going through some of my old check stubs when I was with FedEx, and I noticed that they took out for Social Security, naturally, and also there was an amount that was taken out for Medicare. I thought, I never noticed that before. They take out so much, you just, you know, just get your check and be happy. But then I thought, okay, so at the end, when I retired, they give me a little bit, you know, regardless of how much I put in. They say how much I'm going to get every month. Then also, I'm on Medicare, and the government also says, well, you're on Medicare, and we will take out this much for your Medicare before you get your Social Security check. We will. It's mandatory. It's not like, no, I don't want Medicare. It's mandatory, okay? It is absolutely, you absolutely have no choice. And everybody, the thing of it is that I know, I'm smart enough to know that everybody did not have the same amount taken out of their check every month, because everybody didn't make the same thing, naturally. But everybody has to pay the same amount for Medicare each month, which sounds strange to me because, okay, weren't you already taking out that money when I was working? So why are you taking out another lump sum, like $125, again, now that I'm retired? It seems like a double doozy to me. And I started thinking about that. Wow, that's pretty slick. Yeah, that's pretty slick.
That's a Ponzi scheme.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, thank you.
That's what it is. It's a Ponzi scheme.
I've already paid for this all the years, all the 40-something years I was working. I already put money into this, but now you're taking it. I got to pay again?
Right.
Wow.
What sense does that make? I already paid into it.
You should
be giving me more. That doesn't even make any sense. It was so disgusting and egregious, this whole farce of a system. It's unreal.
And they think
when
that people won't notice, you know? They think that folks won't notice.
Like you said, you already paid into it, so why am I still paying into this? I'm a senior citizen. I should have reduced housing automatically.
I should be able to have no taxes on my food wherever I live, and a reduced food amount. It should be a different amount for senior citizens, because you're not receiving a full salary, some of you. So those things should be discounted for senior citizens, and it's just wrong to me.
It is. It is so wrong.
So wrong. Yeah, and then, health care, senior citizens, they should have the best free health care, because you're an elder now. Like you said, you've been paying into the system, and you may need to see the doctor a little bit more. So senior citizens, that should not be something that you should not have to search around for different plans. And then the way they have all of that Medicare and Medicaid, that stuff is confusing as hell.
It is so confusing. It is so. They have something called the donut hole. If you didn't take care of yourself, you know, through the years, or you had some really serious problems, and now that you're retired, you have to have so many types of medicine. Thank goodness I don't. But for those who have some serious issues at their retirement age, they fall into what's called the donut hole. So you can only get so much medication for a little price, and then you have to pay this humongous amount. You have to take out some more insurance in addition to the Medicare to pay for the extra medicine that you need, because you're so sick, and we just won't be able to cover that. So you're going to have to pay extra money for that. And they call it the donut hole, which is a stupid name, but it's really is a Ponzi scheme the way they do senior citizens. And of course, every year, even though food and everything else goes up, we don't really get an increase in Social Security. It'll say,
the cost of living, COLA. But I was trying to think of something else. But I always hear retirees and senior citizens lobbying for that. You're making a lot of noise for the light. I always hear retirees and senior citizens lobbying for that. And I don't know how much AARP has to do with any type of benefits that could be afforded to senior citizens, but I would like to see them lobby a little bit more, a lot more rather, for senior citizens on that. That reduced housing and a discount on food. There was something else that I thought of too, but definitely that. Definitely reduced housing. Senior citizens should not have to pay full price for housing. I don't agree with that at all, because you've been paying all your life. Give the senior citizens a discount. Give them a break. Definitely on their food, because I hear a lot of senior citizens speaking about it. And thankfully, you don't have to suffer like that. But some senior citizens have to make a choice between buying some bread and some meat or whatever, fruits and vegetables, food, and buying their medication.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you weren't wealthy all of your life and can retire in Florida or Madrid or something, you're just a regular senior citizen and work a regular 9-to-5 and made, $3,000 or $4,000 a month or something, then you retire. I mean, you only have, what do you get, like 3/4 of that or something? And you're supposed to make it off of that? No. That was good 10 years ago, maybe. But now, when milk and bread and all of this stuff is twice as much, what was that I was buying? I was buying, I was purchasing something. I think it was some tuna fish. And I said, this tuna fish is 79 cents and 88 cents a can. I remember when it was two for a dollar. Remember that?
Two for a dollar.
$2 for a dollar. Like, this is crazy.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying they shouldn't ask senior citizens to pay that much. Because, you know, I'm beginning to feel almost like a senior citizen now when I go in the store and I say to myself, I remember when we used to pay 25 cents for this and now it's $1.39. You know, like a bag of chips or a candy bar or something. It was 25 cents. And I remember it was 25 cents, 27 cents for tax.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Penny cookies. Remember penny cookies? I don't even have penny cookies.
Yeah. I remember two four-penny cookies.
Yeah, that was so long ago. I remember when they were a penny. You get those little butter cookies in that big jar. They'd be right there at the cash register.
I remember my oldest brother. My oldest brother went into my grandmother's purse and stole $20. And he went to the corner store and bought $20 worth of two four-penny cookies. We thought we'd never run out of cookies.
Oh my goodness!
All the children were getting cookies. We got so tired of those cookies.
I know.
We hid them in the closet.
Oh my goodness!
Went for two for a penny cookies.
Two for a penny cookies.
Oh, wow!
Two for a penny. Don't get anything for a penny these days. I remember when the phone booths were 10 cents. Remember that 10 cents? And the phone booth. See, these young children, they don't know about the phone booth.
Yes.
But the phone booth was 10 cents. And then I think it went up to 15 cents, and we almost had a fit. But, baby, when it went up to a quarter, remember that? It went up to a quarter?
Ooh.
It was like a quarter. I'm going to be using the phone. Wait till I get home.
Yes.
$0.25.
And your mom always told you when you went out on a date, take a dime so you can, if you had to come, you know, if you had to leave your date friend, take a dime so you can call home and we'll come and get you.
Oh yeah, you keep your few little dimes in your pocket too, boy.
Your little
purse. You sure did. I remember those days too, having that little dime, having that dime to call home. I'm ready. Come get me. So tonight we are, as we mentioned, we'll be discussing speaking your truth, emotional terrorists, and signs that you are experiencing a spiritual vibration. So we're going to talk about all of that tonight. And for our African spirit tonight, we will honor Coretta Scott King, the lovely, honorable Coretta Scott King, Mother Coretta Scott King. I think that's what we should call her. Queen Mother.
Yeah.
Coretta Scott King.
Yes.
And we are going to squeeze in a letter tonight. We do have a letter. We will squeeze that in tonight. Yes. Been holding on to all these letters. We end up talking so much, I don't even get the letters in. I don't know. People like, she didn't read my letter. So, we'll get to the letters. And so if you want to email a letter to us, we'll read it. It could be a letter about your spiritual journey, health, relationships, dating, career questions, love, etc., social justice, whatever. We'll read it. And we'll have some hot topics and more. And so I'd like to give out our phone number.
Our phone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025.
Yes. You can follow us on the BTR page and join our group on the BTR page. If you go to Black Talk Radio Network, you can sign up for BTR, the BTRs. And you can join our Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show page. And also, you can follow us on the Twitters at Mind, Body, and Spirit. And you can also follow us on our Facebook page. And let me see, I did not share my quote as we opened, so let me just share a quote. Okay. A reading man and woman is ready man and woman.
but a writing man and woman is exact. And that is a quote from the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey! Marcus Garvey! I'm trying to say it like
you in the whirlwind.
Oh, yes, I'll see you in the whirlwind. What's that man name? The reggae artist, Burning Spear. He has quite a few reggae artists have Marcus Garvey songs. But yeah, that's a quote from Marcus Garvey. A reading man and woman is a ready man and woman, but a writing man and woman is exact. Is exact.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have another motivational quote, just quickly.
Okay.
You can never cross the ocean unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore.
Ooh,
so take that step. Take that step. Take the step. You can do it. Believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those are my two quotes that I have.
Make that jump. Make that jump.
I have
a quote. Lies don't always end relationships. Sometimes the truth does. Telling the truth and making someone cry is better than telling a lie and making someone smile. That's Paulo Coelho. Now, I wanted to share something briefly about that because I have had an experience with that. I'm one of those people, being sensitive myself, I'm very reluctant to say something that will hurt someone's feelings because I think of them hurting my feelings, and I think, how would I feel if someone told me that? So I have held back. I have held back from saying things that I probably should have said. But as you know, my thing now is I'm coming out. I'm opening up my throat chakra, because when you hold things inside, they tend to fester it's just not good for you. So I have this friend. I've had this friend for about 10 years. And when I first met him, I kind of noticed that he was a little bit, judgmental, if you will. He said something about some of these folks out here don't even know who Frantz Fanon is, wretched, that book.
Wretched of the Earth.
And I said, Wretched of the Earth. And I thought to myself, a lot of people don't know about that, That's kind of deep. And he would say things, about gay people and the people who, just different people. He would just make judgments about them. And I just kind of looked over it, because I liked him as a friend. We could have good conversation. He was very intelligent. And over the years, we remained good friends, talking on the phone, and I would see his little comments on Facebook, and I began to notice how negative he was. In particular, and I wanted to say something to him about it, but I didn't know how, because we were friends, right? But one time I saw something on Facebook where someone posted something about a lady who was slapped by a white man. She was a black female, and she was slapped on the street by a white man for no reason, it's just crazy. But she happened to be a judge. Of course, she was not in her judge getup, so he had no idea, so he was in serious trouble. So that someone posted that, and they thought, he's in for it now. And so my friend said something like, and this happened in Chicago, and so my friend's post to that, which I thought was, was really good, he's going to get it. He said, yeah, and they over in Chicago shooting up each other, all black folks shooting up each other. And I thought, what does that have to do with this white man
slapping a judge. And I posted something. I said, that's kind of negative, don't you? What does that have to do with the post, you know? So every time, he would have all these issues, these problems. And I think I mentioned it once before. He was the one that spoke to somebody, and he said that she was gay. And I thought, what is her having to be gay have to do with the conversation? And he said, yeah, I was at the bus stop, and I spoke to her, and I said, hello, and she spit at me. And I wanted to laugh so bad because it just didn't make any sense. You know, you speak to somebody, why they spit at you? What about you make them want to spit at you? And then he said, I went by some homeless people, and I saw them homeless, and so I took them some food, and they threw it at me. And I thought, why did they throw the food at you, you know? And he said, I don't know, but I was just trying to be nice. And so I said, well, what did you take? What did you give them? Some spaghetti. And I said, you don't give people spaghetti. I said, don't you know about spaghetti? You know, the thing about spaghetti. Well, I'm not a female. I said, that doesn't matter. Give them something that's already prepared, like a sandwich wrapped up, you know. So he began to have all these things happening to him, and I became his sort of therapist. You know, he would call me, and he'd tell me about all these things that happened, and then he would ask for my advice, and I would give him my advice, and it became so draining. Yes. But he was never there for me when I had problems. He was never there for me. So one day he said something that was judgmental about me, and I just kind of let him have it. I just said, you are very judgmental. You've always been judgmental. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And now he doesn't speak to me anymore because I spoke my truth. And it wasn't in an ugly way, because I don't speak to people ugly unless they really get ugly with me. And I said it in the kindest way that I possibly could. And I guess he was offended in such a way that he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. So lies don't always end relationships. Sometimes the truth does, you know? So I think that maybe he wasn't such a good friend after all. He cannot take the truth, you know? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, being brave enough and being courageous enough to speak the truth. It may not turn out the way you want it to, but you will feel better. And I did feel liberated. I'm not a therapist anymore, you know. So I wanted to share that to open up.
And sometimes people, they just want to drop. Sometimes people, they just want to drop all of their baggage on you like that. And I used to have a lot of people that would drop all of their baggage on me like that. And then when I got ready to try to tell my little story or what was going on in my life, whether good or bad, they never had time to hear that. But I was supposed to sit there and be a free therapist for them, and I was like, So I think over, I don't know how many years, maybe about the past 4 or 5 years, heck, I started bending other people's ears. No, let me drop some stuff on you too, because I mean, I have things going on. You know, everything is not perfect in my life. Some things are. Let me share the good and the bad. Listen to me sometimes. I've always been that person that lend an ear for people. And so I said, you know what? I need somebody to listen to me sometimes. Let me get some free therapy. Shoot. Back to what you were saying about the truth. If people are not willing to hear the truth and they don't want to continue being your friend because you told them the truth, then okay, bye, sayonara, you can go on, adios, okay? Because listen, I feel like friends should be able to be honest and open with each other. And if you can't be honest and open with me, and I can't be honest and open with you, then we don't really have a real friendship.
No,
I need to be able to be honest and open. Right, and I want my friend to check me when I'm wrong, or check me when I'm out of order, inappropriate, out of line. Check me on that, because we're supposed to help each other grow. And it's a way to do that without being judgmental. I mean, just
And I think that there is not a class on that, not that I know of. So it's just something that we have to try to learn through life, how to share with people without being critical, overly critical and judgmental, mm-hmm. and coming and having your comments come out in a way that may be too harmful. It may harm a person, it may hurt them, but it's the how you present it to a person, how you communicate that to a person.
Exactly.
And sometimes you may have to take a step back and come back to that another day after you think mm-hmm. about it and say, now how can I address this with this person? I don't want to ruin mm-hmm. our friendship. I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I need to say this because it'll bother you and it'll eat you up inside.
Right.
And I don't believe in doing that. I don't believe in keeping stuff in and not letting it out or releasing it when I need to share something with someone, because that emotional drain can cause a cancer, a real cancer in you, because you're holding some negative emotions inside that you need to release. And we have to really understand that you will become ill and sick because you're holding mm-hmm. things in that you really need to release. So release it, baby. I have no problem mm-hmm. now releasing what I have to say. I mean, sometimes I do have some restraint because I am an Aries and I can be very blunt, and sometimes it just comes out however I'm thinking. So I do sometimes have to like take a step back and say, okay, now let me see, how can I say this without saying it the way I really want to say it? And sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like, well, why can't I just say it the way I want to say it anyway? So mm-hmm. it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act. So it's just something we have to learn through life, I believe. Mm-hmm. Are we ready for some hot topics?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I want to give out my condolences, of course, to the people in Sutherland Springs, Texas. You know, here in Texas, we're in Texas. And so I'm sure everybody knows about this shooting that happened with this Edwin Kelly, who killed 26 people. I know some people were still in critical condition. I hope that they have not passed. But 26 mm-hmm. people in a Sutherland Springs church. They say this man went in blasting before he even came through the door. And I just saw in my news feed that I guess they have a video of him going into the church. But in listening to the story, oh my God, families, I think it was like a whole family of eight. There were a lot of children that were injured or killed because the children had just come in from their Sunday school class, and so they were like sitting right there in the back when he came in. And so apparently he had some type of conflict with his in-laws, and I believe they were a part of the congregation, but one of his in-laws wasn't there, but I think like the grandmother was there. And this man was an abuser to his wife, fractured the baby's skull. I heard one report that the baby was 8 months old. Then I heard another report that the baby was 12 months old. But however, if he was 12 years old, you hit this baby so hard,
oh,
to
wow.
fracture his skull. What? And then he was supposed to have been in, like, yes, he was supposed to have been in, like, a mental health facility in Mexico, and he escaped mm-hmm. from there. He was discharged from mm-hmm. the Air Force and mm-hmm. all of this. And so he apparently was not supposed to even be able to purchase a firearm, but he did.
He served a year for the abuse to his wife and child.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
he was court-martialed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was court-martialed because I remember when I first started hearing the reports, I think it was Sunday, when I first started hearing the reports, the marshals were on the scene. And then there was this commentator saying, the marshals, they probably just, you know, heard the call over the
police scanner, and they were in the area, and so they just came to see if they could be of some assistance. I said, mm-mm, that's a lie. See, that's one thing Baba D. Gregory used to always talk about. Listen to the news stories as soon as they come out, and just keep listening to them, and you'll see how they change the story. And so come to find out, as we now know, he had already been court-martialed. And see, this person, he could have left that part out. He just could have said, I'm not sure why the marshals are there, instead of trying to fabricate some reason as to why they were there. You know, they just get on my nerves at corporate media. But anyway, yeah, so the marshals were on the scene because, you know, he had been court-martialed and all of this stuff and was in the Air Force. And, oh, my goodness, it's just horrible. My condolences go out to their family. You know, I said, you know what? Not that I go to church, but I sure would be afraid to go into a church now. But then, you know, they're going into the churches, the movie theaters. I hope they don't start coming to the grocery store, because I sure stay in the grocery store. And I go to the grocery store. I go to the grocery store all the time, because I don't go and just buy a lot of food, because we mostly purchase, you know, fruits and vegetables. So I don't buy an abundance, a month's worth. I go and get enough lettuce or whatever, fruit, to last me throughout the week. And then I have to go right back. So I said, oh, I hope they don't start coming in the grocery store. I'm so afraid. Oh, and I look at some of these white men now. I'm like, oh, you're not one of those shooters, are you? Please don't. I'm just like, Lord, have mercy. They're talking about us being black identity extremists. You need to watch some of these little young white boys and the old ones, too, because that man that shot up all of those people in Las Vegas, he was old and wanted to shot up their wedding party in, I think it was San Francisco or San Diego. He was old, drunk and old. So you just don't know. You just don't know. So people, be careful. Monitor your surroundings. Speaking of monitoring your surroundings, this wasn't on my hot topics list, but I did come across this video, and I mentioned this to you, Featherlight. This man was talking about how over 80 people are missing in Michigan, and he's saying that they suspect that it's like human trafficking, because they're different people. It's not like one race or a group of people. They're different people that are coming to places, and they are actually abducting people. And there's several people that are missing. So people, be careful. Watch your surroundings. Houston is notorious for human trafficking, notorious for it. So we really have to be careful in this area with, you know, Houston being such a major city, and you have so many different conventions coming here, so many different people. I remember at one time that Montrose area was known for human trafficking. So Montrose is like a very popular, affluent gay area here in Houston, Texas. And so a lot of young children, a lot of runaways were being abducted and forced into human trafficking. So I just wanted to share that. I thought about that, just thinking about monitoring your surroundings. So people, be careful. And the man was advising people to go in groups when you go to the grocery store. And I have always said this. I remember when I was a student at the University of Memphis, the Asians and the Indians, they would always escort their women. You wouldn't see too many Asian women or Indian women walking alone on campus at night.
Nope.
They would escort them. It would be about a group of five or six. And it would behoove us to have our groups just the same. So brothers, walk with these sisters. Sisters, walk with each other. And brothers, walk with each other. I know we feel independent and all of this stuff, especially all you strong black women. But listen, accept that protection from some brothers if they want to walk with you. And don't always think that because somebody want to walk with you that they're trying to talk to you. They just may want to help you and assist you and make sure that you make it to wherever you're going safely. We talked about that before, how some of these women get so ugly with these men. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, don't even get me started with that. They just get so ugly with men. And then they get mad when a man don't want to talk to him. And he don't want to talk. Well, y'all, you know, run men off so much. A lot of us, we run men off with these little nasty attitudes. We just have to stop being so nasty. Yeah, we just stop being so nasty with each other and go back to that love. I'm seeing it more. I'm seeing it more, and that's really good, because we shouldn't be like that with each other. We don't need to be like that. Be kind and be approachable and be lovable. Right. Yes. So here in Houston did pass the $1.1 billion pension bond. It was approved in Houston. Houston is a can-do city. It was a very, very hot ticket here on the ballot for election day yesterday. So the pension bond was all about securing the pensions for city workers, first responders, police and fire. So that has passed, and I was listening to Mayor Turner, and he said that there are other cities that are now coming to Houston for consultation as to how they can fix their pension. So hats off to Houston, babe. I tell you, Houston is hot in many ways, in many ways. Not only did that bond pass, city parks will be upgraded. We have an abundance of parks here in Houston.
Ooh, we have so many parks.
Playground equipment. Yes, so now the playground equipment. We have parks for children, parks for adults, parks for dogs. I've never lived in a city where they have so many doggy parks. Jesus.
Yes.
So many doggy parks. But I know now, like a couple of, maybe about a month and a half ago, when I rode by that doggy park that's not too far from here, it was still underwater. I was amazed. I said, damn, still underwater. That was like about, it may have been 2 months. Wait a minute, no. This is November. It may have been about the end
August.
Of September. Because it was Harvey
August
hit
28th.
The end of August. Yeah, Harvey hit the end of August. So it had to have been like the end of September. Yeah, it was about the end of September when I drove by that park, thinking I'm getting ready to take my dog to the doggy park. The park was still underwater. I was like, wait a minute. Because there are some ponds over there. So I was like, wait a minute. I said, no, that's the parking lot. That's underwater. So, so the parks will be upgraded. I need to drive by there before leaving for Galveston to see if that park is still underwater. But, anyway, and so our Houston Astros won the World Series. Yay. Congratulations to the Astros. I'm so glad they won, because I got so tired of people asking me, you watching the game? You watching the game? No, no. And I said, oh, I hope they win so people could quit asking me that. I did watch like about a few minutes of the game one time when I was out for happy hour. I did see that, and I was going to go to the parade, but I didn't make it. I just didn't make it. Just didn't feel like dealing with all the traffic, even though our mayor, he did open up the metro rails for free. That's one thing I can say about Houston, baby. Houston will let you make it. Texas will let you make it.
They don't let you come up here.
And I tell anybody, if you're having a hard time when you leave, baby, you can come to Houston. And I promise you, Houston will let you make it. If you can't make it in Houston, you need to give it up.
You can make
just give it up. Give it up. Because Houston, Texas, they're going to let you make it here. Because even
so
after Harvey,
this year,
man, so many services. You can get your fake driver's license, fake checks, all of that, fake everything, get you a nice house, nice car. I mean, I was driving down 45 South, and big sign on this building, it was a car lot, no driver's license. They had it in Spanish, of course. You don't need a driver's license. So I'm like, well, how the hell are you buying a car without a damn driver's license?
Right.
You know, I don't, okay, whatever. But anyway, so after Harvey, we didn't have to pay any tolls for about a month. And hell, I paid $80 a month in tolls. And so I was like, whoo, baby, Houston let you make it. Ooh, I put on for my city. Yes. So, yeah, no tolls. And for the Houston Astros game, if people want, for the parade, rather, if people wanted to go to the parade, you can just park at one of the parking rides and catch the little metro for free. So I thought that was really cool. They let you make it here. Now, election results, I'm just going to run through some of these quickly because I thought this was quite phenomenal. We have two transgender people that were elected to office during this election, this past election yesterday. First transgender councilwoman, Andrea Jenkins. She's the first woman of color elected in the nation. First transgender woman of color elected. Let me see. Now, where was she? I didn't put this down. I didn't write this down. Andrea Jenkins. I can't think of what city she's in. Maybe I'll get it or somebody let us know. Okay, and then there was another transgender elected in Virginia. This is a former political journalist, reporter. Danica Roem was elected to Virginia State Law, House of Delegates. Yeah, House of Delegates. And she defeated the 13-term Republican Bob Marshall, who's 73. It was time for him to go anyway. And he supported the controversial bathroom bill, and he has called himself Virginia's chief homophobe. So,
Minneapolis now, for Andrea Jenkins.
Minneapolis, that's right, Minneapolis. She was elected to the city council. Thank you. That's right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this Bob Marshall person, it was time for him to go. And so, and speaking of this, now see, all of this bathroom bill business was pushed and, it was so controversial, right? And these transgender people and the LGBTQ, LMNOP, number 2I and all of that stuff, they got together and they organized. This is what I respect about them. They got together, they organized, and they said, you know what? Oh, we know how to defeat your butt. We're not going to sit here and keep arguing with you and battling with you. We're going to put somebody in office. And not only are we going to put somebody in office, we're going to take your seat from you. And they did that. They did that. So I have to get them some snaps on that because they took a page from the Civil Rights Playbook and they got it together and they organized it. So... hey, they learn from the best. I said that before. They learn from the best, baby. They learn from the civil rights movement. They learn from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, That's right. And they got them somebody in office. Now, you know, whether or not you agree with their lifestyle, I'm not talking about their lifestyle. I'm talking about the fact that they organized and got that man out of office. And guess what? They're going to have whatever kind of bathroom and all this other stuff, whatever they need and want. Okay, because they are getting their people in office. And I can't be mad at them. Hey, you got to push for what you want. We sat up here and we let Barack Obama be in office and thought he was just going to do everything. I was one of those people. I was like, woo, baby, life's going to change for us black folks. Woo, we're going to be dancing on the plantation. And I remember my best friend, said, well, what about if he is not in office? Shouldn't you still feel like things are going to get better and you're going to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do? And I said, you know what? You're right about that. But anyway, civil rights attorney Larry Krasner, he's district attorney-elect in Ely, Philly. He was endorsed by Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, Act Up, I think it's called Act Up Now or Act Up, and he's an attorney, civil rights attorney that has served as a defense attorney for protesters. He was in opposition to stop and frisk, so he has been elected as the district attorney up in Ely, Philly. I love Philadelphia. Ooh. Man, if they didn't have all this snow, I would move to Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. I really do. I like it.
Then Phil Murphy defeated Kim Gennadio, whatever her name is, to replace Governor Krispy Kreme. Governor Christie. And, you know, his ratings are so low. His ratings are like in the teens. So it was time for him to go anyway. Yeah, it was time for him to go. And bye. And then this race that a lot of people were watching between, Ralph Northam, who defeated Gillespie. Now, Gillespie, you know, Trump tweeted out that Gillespie didn't really embrace him the way that he should have. But, like, Gillespie was, like, he was trying to play that role, like, what's his name? Al Gore did with Clinton. Like, yeah, I'm with you, but I'm not going to speak out on it right now while I'm running for this office. So that's how Gillespie was, and his butt lost. So, anywho, anybody but Crispy. Well, I called him Crispy. Crispy. But Crispy, because I'm thinking about Krispy Kreme, because that's what they call you, Krispy Kreme. So anyway, now in Ohio, voters rejected a measure that would have reduced the price of pharmaceutical drugs. Now, what I've heard from people speaking about on this whole measure in Ohio was the language, which was probably constructed by some pharmaceutical attorneys, and they had all that legal jargon in it. So people really couldn't understand what the measure was. So you know how they have these propositions and these different measures written that the average
3 or 4 paragraphs that don't make any sense at all.
Right. That's why it's so important to go online. That's why this year I did what I do. I said, let me go online and let me just try to read more about some of these measures. Because now, like here in Houston with the bathroom bill, when our former mayor, who was an openly gay woman, when she was pushing for that bathroom bill, there were a lot of pastors that came out, and I have to give it to them. They came out and explained that bill to people, because the bill, the way that the bill was written, and in fact, not only did they explain it, they had the wording, the language, the verbiage in that proposition changed so that people could understand it better, because the way that it was. Right, you remember that? I think it was like last year, because the way that it was written up, it sounded like, oh, we don't want to discriminate against people being able to go to the bathroom anymore, like black people were discriminated against during the civil rights movement. So it sounded perfectly wonderful, like, oh yeah. I don't want people to have to drink out of separate water fountains and separate bathrooms and all that. No. So anyway, the language in this Ohio. Oh, they broke it down. I have to give it to them. They broke it down, had the verbiage changed, and also the bill didn't pass, which was quite surprising, because Houston is very, very progressive. And at that time, we had a openly gay mayor. So we thought for sure that bill would pass. But, the Ohio voters, they rejected that measure that would have reduced the price of the pharmaceutical drugs. I'm not trying to crack on Ohio, but, I mean, you know, listen, we know that Ohio has a serious opioid addiction problem, so you probably had a lot of people that really couldn't understand that bill, didn't care nothing about that bill. Their mind is somewhere else. So that probably was part of the problem up in Ohio. So you guys know you're dealing with that bad opioid addiction deal up there. So we're going to have a whole show on that soon. I'm getting all my research together, baby, because I was watching this one video, and I think that this was happening up in West Virginia, which is also in crisis. I mean, these different states are battling for number one, because, like, one state may be known for their overdoses in, say, opioids, but then you have, say, West Virginia that has a higher number of deaths from fentanyl or heroin or something like that. So they're battling for the number one spot.
But anyway, I think it's in West Virginia, whereas the city is saying that this addiction, this opioid addiction, is putting such a strain and drain on the economy, and it's just affecting all the first responders and the city workers, because you have a lot of these firefighters, they're having to, these paramedics, they're having to go to these homes to revive these people with the Narcan. And not only that, you have the addicts that are constantly throwing their syringes down in the drain. So now the city workers, yeah, they clogging up the darn water system, and now the city workers, they had to have these specially made needle-proof gloves. Okay, here, once again, money that could have been going to some school for children to have books, or for seniors to be able to get a discount on food or something. No, the city had to spend money on some specially made gloves because the city workers are having to dig down in these drains to pull out the syringes that the people throwing down in the drain, clogging up the darn water. Girl, I would be so mad. Oh, I would be so mad. I would be so, I would be livid. Livid, livid, livid that these addicts are just constantly draining the system in every which way. And I understand some of them are saying that, you know, it's a disease and all of that. Okay, I hope you get over it. I hope you get well and stop doing your heroin and your fentanyl and all of that stuff. I really do. But that it's just putting too much of a drain on everybody. It really is. It really is. Because nobody was trying to help. And that's another thing about when crack was an epidemic, crackheads, they just did their crack in a crack house. They weren't, you know, calling for paramedics to revive them off the street and in the stores and all of this stuff, and got to come up with makeshift morgues and all of the, you know, asking for billions of dollars so that they can get housing because they spent all their parents' money and now they're trying to get in a rehab and the parents don't have, you know, it wasn't all of this stuff with the crack. You did your crack, you were a crackhead, everybody knew you were a crackhead. They laughed at you. I hope you got better, whatever. Grandmama was praying for you. And that was that. You were just a crackhead. You either died or you got off the crack and got your life together. But with this crap, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm just over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it.
What is this medicine? What is this drug Narcan?
Narcan, or Naloxone.
My mother said that now it is available in Walgreens, that you can buy it in Walgreens.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't heard that until you mentioned that to me, and I was like, what? In Walgreens? But I mean, they're providing the Narcan to librarians, because I guess they're going into the library to do their drugs. I mean, they just try to find anywhere where they can go. And it's bad. It's sad. I do feel sorry for them, but at the same time, none of this sympathy was given to crackheads. Like I said, we laughed at them. We felt sorry for them too. But I don't remember crackheads putting this much of a drain and strain on the economy. And then what really pisses me off about it is the fact that, once again, when crack was flooded in our neighborhoods, you saw all of our people being locked up and jailed and incarcerated and all this on the news every night. But we don't see any of these people.
You don't see
that are
any.
They're robbing, they're committing grand theft, they're writing checks. I mean, just doing it, prostituting themselves, they're stealing.
Right.
Doing all kinds of things, committing all kinds of crimes, let me say that. But we don't see this, we don't hear about it.
Nope.
And it's happening. So
that is a mouth.
Yes, because it's primarily affecting white women and white men.
Yes.
And so we don't see them on the news. I can't believe it's already 10 o'clock and I'm still sitting up here running my mouth about hot topics. We haven't even gotten into our topic or Love the Body. So let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
podcasts, and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Yes, Scotty, crack kills slowly. Like Whitney Houston said, crack is whack. Crack is whack. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to shoot up any heroin. And a lot of these people, they say that they did start on these drugs because they had an injury or something like that, and, you know, they were given the Vicodin and all these pills, and then they no longer could get the prescription, and so they started on the street pills. They would buy the pills from somebody, and then they say their drug dealer, the street pill person or whatever, ran out of pills but would give them a bag of heroin. And I hear now you can get a bag of heroin for like $6, less than a What is it? A pack of beer, case of beer, whatever it is. Six pack, whatever. I don't drink beer, so I don't know. But so a lot of people say that that's how they became addicted to the heroin, and now they're on this fentanyl and all of that. And what gets me is a lot of these people, they know that the fentanyl will kill you, but they will still seek out the fentanyl. So it is my contention that some of these people are actually now getting a high off of dying and being brought back to life, because they call Narcan the Lazarus drug because it brings you back to life. If you ever see any of those videos, the person is like out on the street, on the sidewalk, laid out, and then the paramedics come, they shoot the Narcan, they may have to give them four shots of it up their nose, and then they raise up and stand up, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, you can just take me to so-and-so hospital. And then they go to the hospital, and they stay there for a few hours, and they come right back home and do the same damn thing. And so that's what these city workers are saying. It's just too much. They're having to go to the same house three times a day. How the hell you die three times a day? Woo! Lord have mercy. All right. You want to share your loved body with us, Brother Light? Did we lose you, Feather Light? Check your mic.
Oh,
check.
All right. So I wanted to, first of all, do a quick review of the benefits of stretching, because I left off something that was kind of important last week. And I wanted to say this. Your body is like a vehicle, and how you maintain it determines its mileage and performance. So stretching is vital, yet it is so simple to do. Stretching, you can do stretching while you're still in the bed. And that is how I got started with stretching. Once the masseuse that I told you about last week told me that stretching was good for fibromyalgia. So if you are experiencing any kind of chronic pain, this is ideal. And I will post, I was going to go through it tonight, but I think it would be better if I just post it on the BTR Mind, Body, and Spirit page, and also on the fake book Mind, Body, and Spirit, these simple exercises that you can do while you are still in bed, while you're, you know, planning your day, and it only takes about 10 minutes. So I wanted to stress again how important stretching is for you. It releases endorphins, these feel-good hormones that trigger sort of positive feeling in your body, and it reduces your perception. It reduces our perception of pain. So that's a really good thing. And it increases your stamina. It fortifies your posture. It enables flexibility, promotes blood circulation, which in itself improves your overall health because it promotes cell growth, and we all want that in organ function. And lastly, your heart rate will also lower because it doesn't have to work as hard. So try this, try stretching, and also stretch before you go to bed, because it induces a very good night's rest through all three phases of sleep, and it relieves the stress that you've accumulated through the day, these jobs that you work on, and it relaxes your muscles so you fall asleep and you stay asleep. So check out our Mind, Body, and Spirit on the BTR, For Us, By Us, and also the fake book, and I'll have these simple little techniques that you can start doing. Now, I have a question. What is in your medicine cabinet? What is in your medicine cabinet? Most people will have alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, Neosporin, or something like that, and Band-Aids. But I cannot stress enough, and I know I've talked about this before, the importance of coconut oil as a staple, not only in your kitchen, but also included in your medicine cabinet. So this week,
a survival staple also. If you go on some of those shift pages, preparedness pages, coconut oil, that's something that you should stock up just like water.
Exactly. It has so many benefits. I can't begin to name all of them. It's antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral. It fights harmful bacteria that causes diseases like influenza, measles, even HIV, yeast infections. It heals up bruises. It kills viruses that causes herpes, hepatitis, all kinds of fungi.
I didn't know it was antifungal like that. I wasn't aware of that. I'm so glad you're sharing that. I thought it was something good to have. You could eat it, brush your teeth with it. Some people say, I use it on my hair, on my body, and my food. Okay.
It kills bacteria that causes ulcers, throat infections, urinary tract infections. Now, let me tell you what happened to me this week that really made this coconut oil come in handy, and I'm so glad that I have two jars. I have one in the kitchen, and I have one in my bathroom. So I was walking on my daily walk, and something stung me. And I was walking, so I wasn't sitting anywhere, so I didn't see it. I just felt it, and it was so very painful. And I kept looking at my arm. I couldn't see any marks or anything, but I knew it was something that had stung me. And as I began to walk, and it took me 20 minutes to get home, the pain started going down my arm. And so I carry shea butter with me everywhere I go, because I do not like to get ashy, because the ash man will get me. So I pulled out my shea butter, and I started rubbing it on wherever this area was, because I didn't see the marks, as I said, because it hadn't started to take form yet. So as soon as I got home, I sprayed alcohol on it. I put coconut oil on it. I put tea tree oil. Tea tree oil is another good thing that I use. I use tea tree oil. I put it on top of my non-fluoride toothpaste, and I brush my teeth with it every morning, every night. And I put all these things on it because I was just so worried because of the pain, and I didn't know what had bit me. So I kept looking and waiting for it to take shape. And meanwhile, I've got my phone, my pad, and I started looking up insect bites, because I knew it had to be an insect. So I looked up insect bites, and they had a picture of each insect and what the bite would look like. So as I waited, I began to see its shape take form. And as it turned out, it was a caterpillar puff. A caterpillar puff. I've never even heard of
a little black puffy caterpillar.
Yes.
Black furry.
Yes, it looks like a man's toupee. But it's the most venomous caterpillar in the United States, okay? It's the most poisonous. So I looked at the shape, and I looked again at the picture, and I said, okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. By this time, it was around 3:30, too late to call and try to go to the doctor. So I kept putting the coconut oil on it, and I kept putting the tea tree oil on it, and I kept putting the alcohol, just layer, 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 in the shea butter. The pain was so intense, and that's how I knew that this is what it was, the calicular pus, because it said your pain will be extremely intense, and you may want to call your doctor, okay? And then it said, it depends on how bad it would be or how painful it would be as to how many spines were embedded in the bite. So it suggested that you take some cellophane tape, which we had plenty of, and put it on that spot and then rip it off. I did that a couple of times. And so evidently that took the spines out. But by all through the night, it hurt. I mean, it really, really, it started hurting all down to my fingers. And I knew, I said, I'm probably going to have to see the doctor because I've been bitten by a spider before. And as you know, it bit me on my little bitty finger, and my little bitty finger grew about the size of a thumb and a half, and all of my fingers swelled and all up half of my arm. And I had to end up having surgery to cut the infection out because the pills weren't working. So I was a little nervous about that. But by the next morning, the pain was gone. The sight of the bite, it was starting to fade. And as a result of my expedient treatment, home treatment, I didn't have to go to the doctor. I feel fine now. That was like, was it yesterday or day before yesterday? But anyway, I feel fine, and I didn't have to go to the doctor. I know that the coconut oil really, really played a vital role in my not having to go to the doctor. I ask to everyone that skips coconut oil, you don't have to get it from Whole Foods or a health food store. Whatever your grocery store is, go to the aisle where they sell oils, olive oil, and all of that. It's no more than $3, $4, $5, $6 for a big jar. Keep it. It will save you, and so many other things you can do with your hair. It makes your hair lively and healthy, and your skin. I put it on my face at night as a moisturizer. This stuff is a miracle worker. It really, really is. So that is my Love the Body tip for you guys for tonight.
Thank you. Love your body. Okay, we better go ahead on and try to run through some of our topics tonight. I want to start out with our speaking your truth.
Okay, speaking your truth. Let me see.
And this is from Infinite Waters, for Deep Divers, a short piece from Ralph Mart. We'll share just three brief ways to help you speak your truth. We'll move on to emotional terrorists. Like Angela Davis, terrorists.
Sometimes we're reluctant to speak our truth because we're afraid of what people will think or say. So we have to think of it as a challenge, as I did, and it's liberating to speak the truth, to get it off your chest and for your own peace of mind. And it's really a courageous thing to want to speak the truth in such a fake matrix world that we live in. And when you hold things inside, they can fester. So I read somewhere that it said when you don't speak your truth, it's like you're ashamed of it. So that's not a good thing. I thought, I don't want to be ashamed of my truth. So sometimes what you're most afraid of doing is the very thing that you should do, and it will set you free. So be calm when you're going to speak your truth. As you were saying before, sometimes you may be harsh, you know, but be calm and collective before you speak your truth, not anxious or irritated. Be confident in your own truth. And who knows, you may help someone down the line. The guy that I was talking about earlier, after he gets over his feelings, he will realize that I was speaking the truth, and he will realize that it came from a good place from me, and it may help him later on down the line. So it may not always turn out like you want in to begin with, but you will feel better when you do speak the truth. If your friend cannot deal with the truth, maybe they want your friend to start with, you know. So there are three kinds of truth we wanted to share with you tonight to consider. And Black Rose, you want to tell them about the first one?
Okay, so the first one, telling someone the truth, family, mom, dad, sibling, friend, it may be uncomfortable. It may be a chance for your relationship to grow deeper. They may look at you differently, but don't worry about it. Stand in your own truth and not be ashamed. And I totally can relate to that, because with some family and even some friends, I may not share as much. I generally try to see what level of conversation I can have with some people, and then I'll take it from there, because sometimes I think my conversation, it can just go a little bit above people, not saying that they're not on my level in terms of, like, intelligence. It's just my thoughts on something or my belief, I know it's contradictory to what they believe, and I just don't even want to go into the whole debate of it all, because I'm not really into debating people unnecessarily. You know, I just I'm just not like that. And I just don't even feel like it most of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have to explain myself. So in order for me to not have to go through this with them trying to pull it out of me as to why I feel like this or why I believe like that, when they haven't done any research on the topic that I'm talking about to even come from a perspective of knowledge. So why do I, why should I even waste my time? So I just don't. That's what I have to say about that piece.
Okay. Well, here's a quote on that. It says, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it will defend itself." By St. Augustine. Okay, so the second one is, be true to yourself. Becoming more truthful to yourself could open your eyes to a whole new reality. It could show you something you weren't paying attention to before. You may be in a job you hate. You may be eating foods you know are not healthy, which may be damaging your organs or limiting your lifespan. Or you may be in a relationship you know is not healthy. You know it's not going anywhere. So facing the truth, facing the truth within yourself can sometimes save your life. So that's another truth, being true to yourself.
Indeed, be true to yourself. You gotta be true to yourself. Okay, and the third one, the world truth. When you realize most of you, most of what you were taught in school was a lie. There's a book with that title. You may be upset about it. It may be difficult to accept, but once you do, it will set you free. When you decide to start speaking the world truth aside from the mainstream, you will be met with a lot of resistance for sure. But speak your truth with confidence. It's a game changer. It makes you more mature, more authentic. You begin to know thyself. If there is something in society that bothers you, whether it's our educational system or the way certain groups are treated, the prison system, whatever, speak it. And that's one thing that Scotty and the abolitionists do. They speak out, speak truth to power about the prison system and bringing knowledge to how the prison system is just another form of slavery. And it is. It is. And here we speak. People working for $2 a day and all of this. And I never will forget when, just to digress a moment, I never will forget when I went to here, speaking about Angela Davis, she came to the University of Memphis to speak, and she was speaking about the prison industrial system, and she was talking about how there are people that work for AT&T
while they're incarcerated, work for AT&T 5, 6, 7 years now while they're incarcerated. And then once they're released and they apply for a job with AT&T, AT&T will not hire them. But look, I was working for you for 8 years while I was incarcerated. But now that I come out and I'm a felon, you don't want to hire me. You know, it's just, it's again, a Ponzi scheme. I keep saying it. Maybe one day we'll all realize it. So speak your truth. Thank you, abolitionists, for speaking your truth. It may tick someone off, but again, it will set you free.
Freedom. And here's the last one other quote. When you eventually see the veils to how things really are, you will keep saying again and again, this is certainly not like we thought it was.
Not like we thought.
The veil and you will see the truth.
All right now. So just to speak briefly on emotional terrorists, came across this. I love Blavity, that little site with those millennials.
Yeah.
Put out the little news every day. I love it. I love it. But I tell you. Anyway, so Blavity had this article about being an emotional terrorist is easier than you think. Ask these four people. A call out of the snakes in the grass that recently made someone else's life hell. So people have been talking about Papa John's Pizza because Papa John's, the owner of Papa John's, CEO, John Schnatter, he's been blaming his declining pizza sales on the NFL's poor leadership abilities. So he's upset because people have been kneeling at the games, football players have been kneeling. So he's talking about it's affecting his pizza sales. Now, D.L. Hughley, had some commentary about why his sales probably are declining. He attributed it to pizza just not being a healthy food for people to eat, and especially after a lot of people have been watching this What the Health documentary on Netflix. Many people are just not eating processed food, and then over the years you just have a lot of parents that are not feeding like these regular pizza chain pizzas to their children because of all the preservatives and the processed foods and all of that stuff with the pizza. So many parents, they can't feed their children that pizza because many of their children are autistic, they're on a gluten-free diet, and they just don't eat wheat and sugar and all of this and milk and all. So some people just not buying a darn pizza or eating pizza, period, not unhealthy pizza because it's not healthy. So now, that's right. So he's trying to blame his sales on the protesting of the national anthem and all this, which really nobody's protesting the national anthem. People are protesting the mistreatment and police brutality that we've been enduring for years, decades, centuries here. So that's what people are protesting, Mr. Papa John's. Now, if you like me, I've been protesting your pizza, Papa John's, and Lord knows, if anybody know me, they know I love my pizza and my wine. But for me and my house, Mr. Papa John's, I've been protesting you since you started complaining about, not protesting you, but not buying your pizza, since you were complaining, talking about, if I have to have Obamacare for my employees, then I'm going to have to go up on my pizza, and I might have to lay some people off. So that's when a lot of people really stopped buying your pizza, because I know I did. And I know if I did, I know a lot of other people did too. So don't try to blame on NFL. Your sales have probably been declining for the past 9 years. So don't even trip. Don't even trip. Nobody, like D.L. Hughley said, maybe they just not buying your pizza because the sauce too damn sweet. They just don't like it. I did kind of like his pizza, but I promise you, I don't care how much I like something or somebody, when I know that you're not good for me or you wrong, I'm done. It's a wrap.
Me too.
And I used to order Papa John's pizza all the time.
In fact, I remember this nonprofit organization that I used to work with. We used to order pizza all the time, and then we stopped ordering from Papa John's. Oh, I remember what it was about Domino's. We stopped ordering from Papa John's because of his Obamacare comments. And then the Domino's Corporation, they were all up in a tizzy about the birth control being added to Obamacare or something like that. So we stopped ordering from them. So, you know, these corporations and these CEOs, they need to be very aware of their little comments that they're making, because people will stop supporting you. They really will.
We listen.
Oh, yes, we do. We do. We listen. And then another emotional terrorist, which we already discussed, is that little nasty girl, Brianna Brochu, who was contaminating the young girl, Jazzy, Chanel Jazzy Rowe, contaminating her coconut oil and her eating utensils, licking all on her utensils and taking a toothbrush and sticking it up her butt and rubbing her little used tampons on the girl's backpack and all that, which I'm so glad now she's being charged. I need to keep following that case. But, yeah, another emotional terrorist. And then there was this University of Nevada, Reno. There was this Chief Adam Garcia. He won't be facing any disciplinary actions, but let's see. He was dressing up in a Jim Crow vaudeville show, Colin Kaepernick Halloween costume. So he has like really serious issues, apparently, with black people. And he offered an apology and all of that stuff, but apparently he's going to be back on the campus terrorizing people. So, and then I just want to add another terrorist, that man that went and shot up all of those people. And so my thing is, in Sutherland Springs, my thing is, as I mentioned before, sometimes we call, say, Muslims or something, we call these people terrorists. But we have some real emotional terrorists that are playing with our emotions right here.
In this country.
Right. They're born and raised, baby.
Born and raised.
Right here. And these people, they will play on your emotions. Yeah, they'll play on your emotions and have you just going every which way possible. So we'll pick back up, and we're going to come back with signs that, well, actually, we'll come back with our African spirit, and then we'll run through briefly signs of energy vibrations, spiritual vibrations, rather. All right, so we'll be right back after this break with our African spirit, honoring Queen Mother Coretta Scott King.
Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show for our African Spirit segment. I must remind you that starving a child is violence. Suppressing a culture is violence. Neglecting school children is violence. Punishing a mother and her family is violence. Discrimination against a working man is violence. Ghetto housing is violence. Ignoring medical need is violence. Contempt for poverty is violence. And that's a quote from Queen Mother Coretta Scott King, who we are honoring tonight. Born April 27, 1927, in Heiberger, Alabama. She transitioned January 30, 2006, Rosarito Beach, Mexico. And, of course, she was married to the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., MLK. And some of her awards, she won the award for authors, Gandhi Peace Prize. She was known as a human rights activist and leader, and she won that award, 1927-2006. Okay, so Coretta Scott King was one of the most influential women leaders in our world. Prepared by her family, education, and personality for a life committed to social justice and peace, she entered the world stage in 1955, as wife of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and as a leading participant in the American Civil Rights Movement. Her remarkable partnership with Dr. King resulted not only in four children who became dedicated to caring for their parents' work, but also in a life devoted to the highest values of human dignity and service to social change. She traveled throughout the world speaking out on behalf of racial and economic justice, women's and children's rights, gay and lesbian dignity, religious freedom, the needs of the poor and homeless, full employment, health care, educational opportunities, nuclear disarmament, and environmental justice. She lent her support to pro-democracy movements worldwide and consulted with many world leaders, including Nelson Mandela. And when she was in Boston, that's when she met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she also studied concert singing at Boston's New England Conservatory of Music, where she earned a degree in voice and violin. And I heard she had the most beautiful voice, just a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yes, I did too.
Mm-hmm. She was always so elegant and just so beautiful.
She was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very classy.
So her, very classy, real woman. Her and Dr. King were married June 18th, 1953, and in September 1954, they took up residence in Montgomery, Alabama, and of course she was First Lady. And during Dr. King's career, she devoted most of her time to raising their four children, Yolanda, Martin Luther III, Dexter, and Bernice. And from the earliest days, she balanced mothering and movement work, speaking before the church, civic, college, fraternal, and peace groups. And I'm just, for the sake of time, I'm going to just kind of summarize some of her many, many, many achievements, because, I mean, we could actually have a whole show on her. Maybe we should do that one day, because, you know, we always talk about Dr. King, but we don't talk about that woman that was there beside him.
Yeah, exactly.
Her story. After her husband's assassination in 1968, Mrs. King founded and devoted great energy and commitment to building and developing programs for the Atlanta-based Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Violent Social Change and the Living Memorial, of course, to Dr. King. She was the founding president, chair, and chief executive officer. She dedicated her
yourself to providing local, national, and international programs that have trained tens of thousands of people in Dr. King's philosophy and methods. She guided the creation and housing of the largest archives of documents from the Civil Rights Movement, and perhaps her greatest legacy after establishing the King Center itself, she spearheaded the massive educational and lobbying campaign to establish Dr. King's birthday as a national holiday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. In 1983, an act of Congress instituted the Martin Luther King Jr. Federal Holiday Commission, which she chaired for its duration. She tirelessly carried the message of nonviolence and the dream of the beloved community to almost every corner of our nation and globe. She led goodwill missions to many countries in Africa, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. She served as a Women's Strike for Peace delegate to the 17-Nation Disarmament Conference in Geneva, Switzerland in 1962. She was the first woman to deliver the Class Day Address at Harvard and the first woman to preach at a statuary service at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. A lifelong advocate of interracial coalitions, in 1974, she formed a broad coalition of over 100 religious, labor, business, civil, and women's rights organizations dedicated to the national policy of full employment and equal economic opportunity as co-chair of both the National Committee for Full Employment and the Full Employment Action Council. In 1983, she brought together more than 800 human rights organizations to form the Coalition of Conscience, sponsors of the 20th anniversary March on Washington. In 1987, she helped to lead a national mobilization against fear and intimidation in Forsyth County. Remember, that's where Oprah took her show to, I believe. It was Forsyth County.
Yes, I remember Forsyth.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1988, she reconvened the Coalition of Conscience for the 25th anniversary of the March on Washington. Let's see, and just to sum it up, just to conclude, in 1985, Mrs. King and three of her children, Yolanda Martin III and Bernice, were arrested at the South African Embassy in Washington, D.C. for protesting apartheid. One of the most influential African-American leaders of her time, she received honorary doctorates from over 60 colleges and universities, offered books, a nationally syndicated newspaper, and served on and helped found dozens of organizations, including the Black Leadership Forum, the National Black Coalition for Voter Participation, and the Black Leadership Roundtable. She witnessed the historic handshake between Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Chairman Yasser Arafat. You know, I still think that Yasser Arafat was given some poise in that time when he went, I think he went over to France for treatment, and then next thing you know, he was dead.
Right.
I like Yasser Arafat. I did. I kind of liked him. She stood with Nelson Mandela in Johannesburg when he became South Africa's first democratically elected president. She was a woman of wisdom, compassion, and vision. She tried to make ours a better world, and in the process, she made history. She transitioned in 2006. A few days after her death, thousands of Atlantans stood in the line in the pouring sleet to pay their respects to her at a viewing at Ebenezer Baptist Church. So we honor you, Queen Mother.
What a wonderful woman.
Coretta Scott.
I didn't know she was involved in so much. Wow.
Yes. Amazing. Yes. That's why we should probably have an entire show on her. She was so amazing. She was a beautiful woman inside and out.
I had no idea she was involved in so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So,
So
thank you for sharing that.
Yes, yes. So let's just breeze quickly through, and then maybe we can pick back up on this signs that you're experiencing spiritual vibrations. And then I know you need to go into your breathing. Will we have time for the letter? We said we were, but I don't know if we're going to have time.
Oh, I forgot about the letter.
Well, let me just read a little bit about this, about signs you experience in spiritual vibration, because I know some people may want to hear a little bit about this. So sometimes you may feel healthy and lively, and you have a wave of vibrational energy. You may have this wave of motivation that gives you like a feeling of being able to accomplish anything. No task is too daunting. So when you know that you're experiencing this spiritual vibration, that is what you will feel, that you can accomplish anything. You're not afraid to take on tasks that you have a minute chance of successfully completing. Like, there have been times when I felt like, well, I have this project in mind, but I just do not go through with it, because I didn't have that spiritual vibration yet, that it just wasn't the right time. I wasn't in the right space. So when you do feel that you can complete these tasks, then you're experiencing a spiritual vibration. And when you have confidence in your communication, that's a sign that you're experiencing this spiritual vibration. Like, some people may feel like, we spoke about speaking your truth when we discussed that. Some people may feel like they have difficulty communicating, or they just don't have confidence that they'll be able to communicate with certain people. Well, having confidence in your communication, that's another sign that you're experiencing a spiritual vibration. So when you grow from being hesitant and speaking your truth and being confident in your communication, you have that fluency and you're confident. Your mind is open to all kinds of discussions. That's another sign. You're just open to all types of knowledge and discussions with different people. And you just have these discussions. Thought. I call it black thought. You just had this black thought.
Right.
To disclose your opinion or discourse on a particular topic. Again, you just open. You're open to have this discussion or have this discourse on different topics, what you think, what you feel. You want your voice to be heard because you have this immense vibrational energy inside of you, which propels you to make your presence known. Another sign, you have an abundance and financial stability. You have the drive to attain wealth. You're no longer feeling like, oh, I'm just broke. I'm broke. When I used to go to church, this African Methodist church that I used to attend, that's one thing that pastor used to preach about. He used to say, never say that you're broke. Don't say you're broke. Just say you're having a temporary cash flow problem right now.
Right.
Yep. Temporary cash flow problem. I have a friend right now today always talking about he's broke. And I have to tell him all the time, stop saying you're broke. You're not broke. And if you keep saying you're broke, then you're going to continue to be broke. And then you're putting that, well, you're really going to be broke. And then you're going to, that's going to filter out into people in your life, because that's the vibration that you're putting out. And that's a financial, that's financial advice that people give you. Don't surround yourself with so many broke people that are broken financially or broken spiritually, because they'll bring you into that same little pit.
You will. That same wave of vibration, that same plane.
Right, and then if you have, you know, not trying to be offensive, but if you have, you know, broke friends, then you're going to find yourself, y'all, every time you go out somewhere with them, you always got to buy their meal. I know what that's like. I've experienced that with friends before. You always got to pick up the whole tab for them. And that gets expensive. That gets expensive because, once again, you're spending twice as much as what you would have spent. Because now you're going to have to buy your food and their food. And then whatever else you're doing for that day. That gets expensive. So another sign that you're having a vibrational spiritual vibration, excuse me, you enjoy harmonious relationships. Harmonious relationships are so vital. And also get good vibes from you. Yes, they are. You don't need to have too many toxic relationships. You don't need to have any toxic relationships. But, yeah, you want to have harmonious relationships, people that can help you grow, people that can help you become a stronger version of yourself, and they appreciate that stronger version of yourself when you grow into who you are to be, like what you said, Featherlight, when you spoke your truth to your friend, and then he didn't appreciate it. No, he wants you to just be closed mouth and meek and mild and don't say anything. No.
Say something that he wants to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not how it's working. That is not how it is working. All right. So I'm so sorry. We're not going to have time to read our letter. I don't know. These 2 hours just went by so quickly. Not if you're going to do your breathing. And I guess I can just mention it quickly. This letter.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll sum it up. I'll just sum it up then. I'll sum it up. So, I'm calling this letter "Holiday Blues" because we had a listener that wrote in and she said that she's in an interracial relationship. She's black and the person that she's dating is white. They have a really, really good relationship, though, she says. And he's very understanding and sympathetic to black issues and the black cause, black struggle. And so now that the holiday is coming up, they both want to visit their families. Now, she said that her family, she has a few people that may kind of look a little sideways at her, but they of course, are not going to be rude and disrespectful to her mate. She knows this. But she said there may be some things said, just people trying to figure out where he's coming from. But she knows that her family would not be the type that would be like, well, you can't bring that white man over here. Whereas his family, he will have some cousins that are racist. And so she's saying she don't really even want to go around any of his family if they are going to treat her in a hateful manner or be disrespectful in any kind of way. And he's saying that, you know, he will handle it and he doubts they would, you know, say anything that would be truly offensive to her. But what she's saying is if they can't agree to not go to his family's home or either not, and also maybe not go to her home, maybe they should just have Thanksgiving dinner together by themselves or with some friends, some mutual friends. So she's asking how should she handle this situation because she said she just doesn't want to put herself in a situation whereas there'll be a big argument at the table, especially with the political climate that we're in. And now, I don't know if people know this, but Thanksgiving is the number one holiday whereas domestic violence increases. You have a lot of family members that shoot and kill each other after eating Thanksgiving dinner. You can do the research on that. Thanksgiving, that's the number one holiday where family members will kill each other.
I definitely wouldn't want to go.
Exactly.
I mean,
you have people going shooting up churches and all this. Yeah, so, sister, holiday blues. I will say this because she says that there's a conflict because he's like, well, you know, I really want to go to see my family, but I understand how you're feeling. But, I mean, we're going to see your family, and you said that they may feel some kind of way, but, of course, they're not going to show as much hatred as he thinks his cousins may. I would say, well, what do you say, Father Light?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
You're a woman of reason.
Stay at home. I would say have your Thanksgiving dinner with either just the two of you, or invite some mutual friends that you know you will be comfortable with. I don't like being uncomfortable. I really don't. I would not put myself in a position where there is a chance that something awful will happen or something awful will be said, and it will ruin the whole day. If he thought that it was enough for him to say, well, you know, I got a couple of cousins that, you know, might say something, mm-hmm. he's letting her know. He's preparing her. So it must be enough for him to even bring it up, that the possibility mm-hmm. that something may go off wrong. So, no, I would definitely not go to his folks' place. Nope.
Well, if I did go...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if I did go, I was just going to crack a joke. But if I did go and I saw a tiki torch outside, and if his cousins had on those chinos and those polo shirts and that little whack-ass haircut, I would just turn right on around and say, nope, not going. But anyway, so what were you about to say?
And then he may come back with, well, we're going to your folks, but then just don't go either one. Because...
yeah.
When you go into these relationships, interracial relationships, then you mm-hmm. got to expect some kind
that's
of
flat. Right.
I mean, it's
that's right.
It comes with the, you know,
territory.
It just comes with the, mm-hmm. yeah. So just be yep. ready for it. Just be ready for it, and deal with it. But it's not going to be just like both of them are black or both of them are white. So you just got to accept that. And mm-hmm. make the adjustments, and they're going to have to make an adjustment on this. They're going to mm-hmm. have. I would not put myself in that position if I were her. I would not.
Mm-hmm.
Not for just yeah. one day. Mm-mm. No.
I have a question.
I mean, you already have family members. Some family members, they'll trip out on you if you bring someone that's of a different class. We do have
right.
classism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We do have some classism right. going on, because I know how, like, my dad, he didn't play that stuff about just bringing some old broke dude around. He want to know what you're doing and all this, what kind of employment you have. And I remember one time I brought this one guy around. Well, I hadn't even brought him around because I knew how my dad was, and how he is, rather. And this guy, he had, let me see, his title was like environmental, blah, 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 something like that. But actually, he just worked at the hospital, whatever, like cleaning the rooms or something like that. So, well, my dad mm-hmm. said, so what does he work? And I was like, oh, his just something. And I said, oh, environmental, whatever his title was. And my dad was like, oh, so he housekeeping. Woo! So, honey, holiday blues. I mean, that's just something that we have to deal with. Like I said, you know, hey, we have racism and classism.
Hey, Sister Black Rose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If I could chime in on that topic, I have a friend
sure.
who is from Tennessee, and she married a continental mm-hmm. African, a guy from Ghana, and she talked about that culture shock. Because of they come from two mm-hmm. different cultures and what have you, mm-hmm. and how she had to get used mm-hmm. to certain things, and he had to get used to certain things. So you are correct. You could apply that in so many different areas.
Yeah, that's right. It could be a culture shock.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to get ready to close out. You want to give us our breathing and just get us to a relaxing state.
Okay. All right. So I will ask you again to stand, please, and place your hands just below your navel, 2 inches below your navel, which is, we call the Dajin, your energy center.
with your palms up, and your longest fingertips will be touching, as if you're holding something, okay? Your feet are shoulder-width apart. You relax. Your shoulders are relaxed. Raise them up and let them down. Make sure they're not tense. Relax your throat. Relax your face muscles. Put a little smile on your face. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick Qigong exercise. It's an element exercise. Each of the elements has a Qigong exercise, and it corresponds to a different organ of the body. So this one is called the earth element, and it corresponds with our spleen. So what you're going to do, and I'm not going to do this with you because I make noise, I'm just going to read. So your palms are up, and your longest fingertips are touching as if you're holding something. And you're going to take a deep inhale, and you're going to fill your arms with energy. So inhale. Now, as you exhale, bend down, open your arms to the earth, spread your arms as if you're about to scoop up something. Inhale, scoop up good energy from the earth as if you're scooping up leaves. Bring them back up to your stomach, your lower abdomen. I'm sorry. I have to do this with you. Okay. Inhale, scoop up, bring up the energy. Now bring your arms back to your lower abdomen. Now exhale, take your arms out to the side, palms down, arms straight, perfect balance. Inhale, reverse your palms, raise your arms up over your head and form a triangle with your hands. Exhale, bring your triangle down to your lower abdomen and pause. Breathe easily, soft and gentle. Now we're going to do this again. I'm going to say it right this time. Now place your hands just below the navel again, palms up, fingertips touching, as if you're holding something. Inhale, feel your arms with energy. Exhale, bend down, open your arms to the earth, spread your arms. Inhale, scoop up good energy from the earth as if you're scooping up leaves. Bring your arms back to your lower abdomen. Exhale, take your arms out to the side, palms down, arms straight. Reverse your palms. Inhale, raise your arms up over your head, form a triangle with your hands. Exhale, bring your triangle down to your lower abdomen and breathe easily. That is your Qigong exercise with the earth element. So practice that. And I hope you were breathing properly. And thank you for participating in the quick Qigong exercise. We will see you guys in 3 weeks. We are taking off. We will be back Wednesday, November 29th. And speak your truth.
Speak your truth.
Speak your truth.
Everyone have a wonderful, prosperous weekend. Peace and good night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Namaste. I don't say happy Thanksgiving. Slaughtering the Native Americans and black folks are already here. But anyway, enjoy the holiday.
Namaste, everybody.